Amen. All right, 1 Peter chapter 2 tonight, verse 17, actually 18. We'll go there and we'll read this section together. And we want to talk about aliens in the workplace, okay? Now, not illegal aliens. We've already addressed that, right? This is not an advertisement for any political position. We're not talking about aliens from other nations here illegally that are working and getting benefits that honest civilians and citizens of our nation deserve. That's a whole other sermon, okay? But we understand that when I talk about aliens, we're talking about you and me, strangers and pilgrims in this world. What should it look like for you and me who live in this land? And this world is not our home. We're just passing through. But there's, as we saw the last 2 weeks, there's a way that we relate to those inside the house, outside of the house, the authorities over us, and ultimately to the ultimate authority, God. And so if that's true, there's a way that we, our relationships are fleshed out. That's going to affect the way we work, right? It should. The way we relate to those, listen, who might be an authority over us, not just kings, right, and God ultimately, but we might have an authority over us called a boss, right, or our employer. And so in that sense, what should my work ethic look like? How should I be in right relationship to those who I'm maybe underneath their authority? And I work with my peers, right, out there in the factory or in the, you know, on the car lot or in the cubicle or out in the fields, right? Maybe over the road driving. Should my faith be fleshed out at work? I mean, we spend most of our hours in the week there, right? Working and then sleeping, I think, is where we spend most of our hours, right? And so what do we do? How do we do that? Well, you know, I know some people aren't satisfied with their job. This wisdom tonight might, you know, this truth, if I choose to apply this and apply this principle, I sincerely believe the Word of God is powerful and it can radically change how you enter into the office tomorrow or into the factory tomorrow. If I'll hear this and heed it and hold on to it. And we need this today because if there's anything, we need a good witness in the workplace, right? The church, you know, I mean, listen, we bear a bright light here when we all come together and do ministry together like the fall fest. Man, y'all worked like dogs, man. It was amazing, right? I mean, didn't have to tell. It was like the ants that don't need, I mean, that's just wisdom, right? The proverb says, look at the ant, you sluggard, right? What does the ant do? The ant's just working. And it doesn't have a master over it to tell it what to do. It just does it. And man, we were like a bunch of ants on that day. Man, it was awesome to watch just how that all worked out. Well, what about when we're not all here, but you're the only one at the factory? You're the only one there. I mean, that's harder, right? To really flesh out the faith and do it. Should my faith be even evident there? Well, absolutely it should be. And we need it. I heard recently about a situation down here. An employer had to deal with a young employee, and you know how they can be. Brought them in, sat them down, and shared with them how they were not working up to par, and they were kind of going to be on like a 30-day probation status, right? Well, the next day, guess what? The young man's mama and sister showed up at work to have a talk with his supervisor. They didn't think the supervisor was being fair in his assessment, and they thought he should know that. That's the world we live in. I'm being real. That's the world we live in. Now, as believers, I don't need my mama and sister. I don't have a sister. I don't need someone going, and I certainly don't even do that for my sons, right? There is a way we should conduct ourselves in the workplace, even when we may be wrongly accused. Even when something we're accused of something we didn't even do. That's what Peter's going to address here. How we work. Now, he's writing, stop and think, he's writing in that day, there were slaves all throughout the Roman Empire. Now, when we say slaves, household slaves, some of them were well-educated slaves. They had a responsibility sometimes to tutor, they had a responsibility to move, to do the business, to do certain affairs for the master of the house. I mean, in the Roman Empire, I mean, slavery is a terrible institution, but a large populace, a large percent of the population were slaves. And so when he's right, I mean, you stop and read about Philemon, right? That short little one chapter epistle, it's about a slave that ran away and got saved and then was supposed to go back to his master, who was his brother in Christ, because Paul knew him. Really fascinating when you stop and think about this. The gospel is the power to change not just individual hearts, it can change whole cultures, right? It can change. That's why, you know, those 12, those apostles, they turned the world upside down just going and preaching the gospel and then seeing the gospel get into people's lives and then permeate all throughout that particular city. The fragrance of Christ is what should be waffling there. Wafting all through the air of our office places, right? Of our factories. Or the hospital, okay? Wherever we work, wherever we find ourselves, how does my work ethic show, or how can someone sense, man, that's the fragrance of Christ right there. Now, again, we're going to be strange. I'm glad you didn't say amen. All right, we're going to be aliens. We should look different, be strangers, right, in the workplace. We should seem that way. You know, we're working in such a way that it's out of this world the way we work, right? Because we're aliens, right? They should see something different in you and in me. And one of the ways that this happens, he's going to play this out, not just here within our, as employees, with employers. He's going to talk about it in the other important relationships that we have, and that is as husbands and brides, how that relationship as well should be a witness to the world. And in these particular spheres, whether it's in the office or the workplace or whether it's at home, there's levels of authority there as well. And so how we submit, surrender, and flesh out the faith is going to be important. Now, in your Bibles, you might want to notice this. I want you to look back. We're going to start in verse 18, but look back at verse 13 and 14 for just a minute. We got to go back to the last couple weeks, okay? Therefore, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the kings as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. Now, we want to do good in society. That's amen. We want governors who make sure that they reward those who do good. We want the world to see us doing good, to be accused of doing good, not accused of doing evil, all right? And particularly in the workplace. In fact, he'll say that back up in verse 12, have your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. How do I conduct myself and do good works? It's what we want in society, so we should contribute to it. But also, that happens in the workplace. So notice what he says here. Servants, verse 18. Be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle ones, right, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable. If because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully, for what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. Now, no one wants to be treated wrongly for doing the right thing. Paul is going to say here in this, or Peter is saying in this epistle, listen, that we need to learn that our good behavior and the good work that we do, the good things that we do, we want it to be a blessing to a society. Now, this same principle, I wrote this in the margin of my Bible, Jeremiah 29:7, and I'm not going to go read the whole chapter of Jeremiah 29:7, but what Jeremiah the prophet had to tell God's people in the Old Testament, hey, listen, you're going into exile. Guess where you're going? Babylon, the Chaldeans. This is fascinating to me, especially in this epistle. You're going to Babylon. And while you're there, this would be the wise thing you should do. Seek the welfare of the city. Now, that is not a modern connotation. Seek to be put on welfare. That's not what that means, okay? He said, seek the good of the city to where you're going. Because if it's good for you, it'll be good for the city. Realize, as my representatives, you're going to be there. Yes, this is punishment. Yes, this is, and some of y'all might think my job is punishment. Okay, no. All right. You're going there. While you're there, do the right thing. Do the good thing. Do the thing that blesses others. Do the thing that brings a good witness as you do it. And as you do it, it will be beneficial for the whole city. Now, that's God who spoke to his people when they were going to exile to the Babylonian, to Babylon. Now, what's fascinating is, hold your place here, but look over in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13. At the conclusion of this letter, I find this fascinating that Peter is writing, and he says, she who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you. And I think that's fascinating to me. Peter, he's probably in Rome. That's what most people think when he says this, writing this epistle. But he was equating it with Babylon, right? Because of that world system. And you say, well, we don't have to worry about that. Babylon's nothing but rubble today, right? If you've ever been to Iraq, there ain't much there but dirt, okay? And desert. And so Babylon, we don't have to worry. Have y'all not read Revelation, what the world system's called at the end of time? The Babylonian world system, all right? And it's all tied to a man-made world system. It goes all the way back to the Tower of Babel and when men think they're God and act like that, all right? Do we need to be delivered from a Babylonian world system? Oh, yes, we're all in it. It's all around us, okay? How do we live in the midst of that? Remember, we're aliens. We're strangers. We're different. We're distinct than the world around us. How should you live? How should I live in that midst? And so he says, listen, let's learn how we can have a winsome witness to an unbelieving world around us, how we can have the fragrance of Christ. Now, one of the ways we do that is we embrace, I would say, a humbleness in the workplace, a humility, and we realize, you know what, we are the Lord's servants. Amen? That's who we are. We're free in Christ. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm glad for that. But do I realize we are His servants? And whenever we do our work, we do it not for the man, we do it for who? The God-man, Jesus. We do our work for the Lord. And who rewards us? The Lord. Even when the boss doesn't. Even when we don't get the promotion. Even when we don't get the reward. I need to be submissive to my masters with all reverence. I need to reverence them, respect them, fear them. Yes, yes, yes. Even when they're a jerk. Yes. Yes. If they're good and gentle, praise God, I got a good boss. All right? If they're the other one, harsh, praise the Lord, I got a job. That's how we flesh it out. So that handles all of us. Jerry, don't tell them whether I'm harsh or gentle, okay? All right? The way you go to work tomorrow, doesn't matter what your boss is like. You say, well, praise God, I'm retired. Come to work for us. Amen. Okay? For the King. This affects all of us tonight when we go to work. Now, it's commendable. It's commendable, listen, it's commendable if it may happen that we endure grief or suffering wrongfully. That may happen. Now, let's be honest. Oftentimes when that happens to us, what do we want to do? And I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Come on. Hey, let's go. Honesty is good for the soul. Amen? Guilty. Wanted to do it. But it's commendable if we take it patiently. Yes, if we do something wrong, we take that patiently too. But if we do something right and we suffer for it, if we take it patiently, it's actually commendable. Maybe not before them, but it's commendable before God. Why? Because you see, we have an example before us. As His people, and that's what He emphasizes. He gives us this illustration in verses 21 through 25. You remember the WWJD bracelets? What would Jesus do, right? It's from a book by Shelton, right? What would Jesus do? kind of devotional thing. What would Jesus do in certain situations? And what would Jesus do? Well, what would Jesus do when he suffered innocently, accused wrongfully? What would he do when he offered himself in our place and submitted to that authority that was? Could he have called 10,000 angels? Oh, yes, he could have. Could he have been delivered just like that? Yes, he could, but he didn't. And Peter says, I know this. You see, to this we're called because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Now he quotes Isaiah, that wonderful, wonderful song, servant song there, suffering servant song, I should say, over in verse 22, over in Isaiah 53. Jesus, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. And if you ever, you know, just meditate on that, that little chapter of Isaiah 53 for, you know, for just read that one chapter for about 2 weeks and just think and meditate about what Christ did for us. All we like sinners were, you know, all we like sheep were gone astray, right? But it pleased God for him to take our place. It pleased God for him to bear our iniquities, to by his stripes we can be healed. And God was well pleased that that happened, that Jesus experienced that for us. And it's a picture, of course, Isaiah calls it the suffering servant. Now, he's talking to us right here as servants. He said, I'm not a servant. I'm not a slave. Okay, maybe you're not in this worldly context that we live in. But sometimes I'm telling you, you might think you're working for Pharaoh, right? And the lashes and all of that. Peter says, listen, if you suffer for going, doing something, experiencing, you did it right, and you're wrongly accused, and you're innocent, stop, think about Jesus for just a moment. How did he bear up underneath it? When he was reviled, did he revile in return? No. His mouth was shut, it says. That's what the prophecy said in Isaiah. He didn't say anything. Do you know why he didn't say anything? Think about this for just a moment. He went down into the river with John the Baptist to be baptized. Why? To fulfill all righteousness. Did he need to be baptized for the remission of sins? No, but he identified to fulfill all righteousness, identifying with sinful man and representing us. When he's hanging on the cross, he's totally innocent, but he's paying the penalty for who? The guilty. He can't say anything when he's wrongfully accused. He is fully representing us, fully taking that for you and for me. He didn't revile. When he suffered, he didn't threaten. You know what he said? Nails in his hands. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He committed himself to him who judges righteously. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. When we endure injustice, unjust suffering, it's tolerable when we stop and we're mindful of what Christ has done for us, when we focus on him. And so as employees, when we're there in that environment and we may be suffering for doing the right thing and that's wrong that they do that, don't give them an excuse. Don't give them an excuse to shame our Savior. Don't. Now you say, well, do I just stay here and keep taking that job? No, it's okay to look for another job. There's nothing wrong with that. But be a good witness in the midst of it, right? Be the best worker at work. Be, if you're wronged, maybe by an unbelieving coworker or supervisor, sometimes you take it like Jesus did. Because you know what? God will make it right. And I've seen it. I've worked for unbelievers. And sometimes you take it. And you know the amazing thing? Sometimes they come back and they say, man, I was wrong. And that's an opportunity to bear a witness. And that's what we're doing. Remember, he's going over here to chapter 3, verse 15. Hey, get ready. Set apart the Lord God. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. When we conduct ourselves, live this way in the office place, on the factory line, or, you know, our tendencies to fight back and demand our rights, right? That's the natural response of the unsaved person. That the supernatural response for you and for me is to remember Christ, be filled with His Spirit, and to respond in a way that gives us an opportunity to share the gospel, to give a defense for why we believe what we believe. And this counsel, Peter connects it to our suffering servant, the example of Christ. Now, Peter, of course, understood suffering. He learned from his own experience that God's people were going to suffer. And we need to realize that as well. But the paradigm for us in running the race of faith is always Christ. And that's the one that we look to tonight. Hey, think about this. Next to taking a nightly rest for 8 hours or 6 hours or however many hours you sleep throughout the week, the second most use of your time throughout the week is in your job place. And it should be one of the primary places where we can shine the light of Christ. And so let's pray tonight that we'll do precisely that. Pray with me. Now, as we're praying, I want you to pray for that harsh taskmaster called your boss, your employer, right? You may have other names for him tonight or in the workplace, but I want you to pray. Pray for the Lord to allow you to have a good witness this week as we work and as we do our work. As they say, giving an honest eight for as we're there, be the best employee, not to get the award from the office, but to get the award from God.